Good evening, everyone. Meeting will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Thanks for everyone being here on time. We've got the minutes of the last meeting before us. Are there any corrections, additions, deletions to the minutes? Representative Carlson moves approval of the minutes of January 12th. See no discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Our order of business tonight is House File 6. Representative Davids moves that House File 6 be referred to the General Register. And Representative Davids, you have the honor of having the first bill before this committee. Would you like to tell us about it, Chair Davids?
I certainly would. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Thank you for coming in this evening for this very important bill, House File 6. I'd like to kind of go through the history of it. Before Christmas, I met with then Commissioner of Revenue Myron Franz and soon-to-be Commissioner Cynthia Bowerly laying out a strategy on how do we get federal conformity done by the 30th of January so that taxpayers will not, and at that time it was thought that the IRS would open up filings on the 30th of January. So we set out a plan, working together in a very bipartisan manner. We set out a plan to get this done for the taxpayers in Minnesota. And then it was a week or so ago that we found out that the date had been moved up from January 30th to January 20th. When the date was January 30th, we'd agreed on a date that we would shoot for of January 23rd. And, of course, when the IRS came out and said it's going to be January 20th, all bets were off on the 23rd. That didn't do us a whole lot of good. So we kicked it into overdrive, and House File 6 is moving at warp speed. And it does a lot of really, really good things. So I'd like to go through the bill a little bit, and then I'll have Joel Michael go over what is really in the bill. So with that, if you look at the House Research Bill summary, we look at extending higher education tuition deductions, extending educator classroom expense deductions, and basically, members, you can read, go through all the different things that we're conforming with. Basically, what we're not conforming with is we're not conforming with the estate tax. We're not fully conforming with Section 179 expensing or accelerated depreciation. We're still using in this bill the add back on Section 179 where you add back 80%. House File 6 does a lot of good. There's a few things as we move out throughout the session. I'll be reaching across the aisle to work on issues such as the estate tax, Section 179, and a few other items that I would like to be able to conform with, but that's not tonight. A couple other issues, one that I really like is if you're over 70 and a half, and let's say you want to give $100,000 of your IRA to a charity, you can do it and not have to declare as income. Now, you would ask the question, well, why in the world do you have Roth IRAs in there when Roth IRAs aren't taxable and you take them out anyways? The reason is a Roth IRA has to be held for at least 5 years. So if you're at about 68 or 69, you buy a Roth IRA, and then you're 70 and a half, and you want to give it to a charity, there would be an IRS penalty because you haven't held it 5 years. So that would clear that up, contribution to food inventory pass-through entities, and all the things we're talking about. Now, this is not as big a conformity bill as we've had in the past. In the past, because many of the items that we used to conform to have been put in permanent law, so they're not included here. If you look at the fiscal or the revenue projections to the revenue note, hopefully that's including your pack, you'll see that for fiscal year 2015 there is a cost of $19,905,000. Then one would ask the question, why in 2016 in the world would you have a $22.4 million increase to the budget? Well, to the general fund, the reason is because this is for 1 year, so this is conforming for 1 year. And I think if you would just take some time to, I read a very good article in the Rochester Post Bulletin front page today's paper. You might just go to that, and it very clearly, I think it very clearly describes why we should be doing this. Another provision in this bill that I favor is if somebody's down and out and they lose their home and they have to do a short sale or they have to sell it for less than what it's worth, there'll be some considered forgiveness. In the past, you're down and then you get a big bill from the IRS saying you've been forgiven this much, you owe this much tax on it. That is not a very nice thing to do. That's not Minnesota nice. And so we're taking care of that issue as the feds have at the federal level. So that's your basic House File 6, federal conformity. In taxes yesterday, we amended House File 27 on which has to do with the DMC, Destination Medical Center project in Rochester. The Attorney General's Office on September 23rd, Mr. Alan Gilbert issued an opinion, I have it here, that said that it was basically said it was unclear on the issue of it being cumulative in calculating when the DMC would receive money from the state, or is it year by year? And I'm going to have Mr. Michael describe why they're wrong on that. No, I shouldn't. Why we believe that they are in error, or I do, or he does, somebody does. And the other issue on the DMC is, can the city of Rochester and some of their planning money use that towards their $128 million commitment? Now, on both issues, I thought the legislation that Chair Lincheski passed was extremely clear on the number one, it'd be cumulative, number two, that they could use that against $128 million. Chair Lincheski in Tax Me yesterday was very clear in her comments. If you read the Rochester paper, you'll see her comments in there about what the intention was. And members, if you look back at the bill back in the day from 2013, you'll see that all of the fiscal analysis, all the fiscal notes, all the revenue notes, everything had a cumulative, number one. And number two, the issue of counting that towards the $128 million in House File 6 as amended in Tax Committee is cleared up. And so I disagree with the Attorney General's office, but she's the Attorney General. I'm not. So the last sentence in Mr. Gilbert's report or findings here says that basically it says, and I'll paraphrase, or basically the legislature could clear this up in 2015. And so that's what I'm here trying to do, if I could find the right page somewhere in here. So with that being said, what I'd like to do, members, there's been some discussion from members that have come to my office. And many of you have already heard this, but it very clearly reminds me of when I was in grade school and I would be acting out. I know you can't imagine that would ever happen. And my teacher, Mrs. Overland, would say, Gregory, and when it was Gregory, I knew there was not good things coming. She'd say, today is not the day. So if you have a problem with DMC in Rochester, if you don't like it, if you want to change it, members, today is not the day. There will be other days to debate the issue of DMC, the largest economic development project in this state. That's not what we're talking about in House File 6 as amended by House File 27. What we're talking about in this is clarifying for the Attorney General that they are to accumulate expenditures and that for their planning money they can use that against their $128 million. So, members, I hope we can get this through in warp speed, and hopefully we'll get it done on the floor tomorrow. So hopefully that happens. If I could, Mr. Chairman, if I could turn it over to Mr. Michael, basically, if he could start maybe with the issue of the Attorney General and kind of where she went with this and where we respectfully disagree. But we want to... When you have a situation where the Attorney General gives an opinion and the investors want to invest in this, they're going to be a little bit hesitant if this issue isn't cleared up. So we want to clear this issue up here this week, and then we'll certainly have other debates about DMC issues, I'm sure. So with that being said, if I could, Mr. Chairman, turn over to Mr. Michael from House Research.
Mr. Michael, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joel Michael from House Research. I think the chair of the Tax Committee did a good job of describing what's at issue here. Essentially, what the bill does with regard to the Destination Medical Center is two things. One, that it resolves that the aid calculation will be based on a cumulative amount of private spending within the area of Rochester that's been defined once it exceeds the $200 million threshold. And secondly, it provides that the city's spending in preparing the development plan, which is the blueprint for the activities that will occur in DMC, does count as something that either can be used to draw down their local contribution or can be paid with state aid. Two, you know, I don't know that it's really crucial as to the, you know, the correctness or not of the Attorney General's opinion, but it, as one who worked on this legislation with the authors in the House, I think that it was always understood, and the fiscal notes and the spreadsheets were always prepared on the assumption that this aid would be calculated on a cumulative basis. The confusion arises, I think, as a result of the fact that that computation works like this, the way it was in the original bill that's now being amended. There's a definition of qualifying expenditures, which are the private real estate investments that are made in the in that area of the city of Rochester. That's an annual number. So in other words, each year a report is filed by the city of Rochester with regard to the number of built, the value of the number of building permits that have been pulled during that prior year. And so the law defines that as qualified expenditures. Then the aid subdivision of the law says that the amount of aid is equal to the sum of the qualified expenditures multiplied by the percentage once it, you know, exceeds this $200 million threshold. The Attorney General's opinion focused pretty much exclusively on the definition of qualified expenditures as an annual amount. And in reading the aid computation, essentially read the words the sum of, which, you know, for mathematicians implies that you add multiple things out and just looked at the one item. And, I mean, there's an explanation. The language is unfortunate, and I say this as one of the people that contributed to the drafting. The language is probably not as crystal clear or as explicit as that it should be. And so it's sufficiently ambiguous, and then they started looking at surrounding legislative discussions and so forth and concluded it should be an annual amount. Well, the changes that are in this bill essentially build in the cumulative computation into the definition of qualified expenditures, so I don't think there will be any question that, in fact, that computation should be made on a cumulative basis. If that there are any questions, I can
Mr. Chairman,
respond.
Representative Davids.
That's what I meant to say.
Are there any questions for Mr. Michael? All right, Representative Davids, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'd really appreciate your support. This is a very important bill.
Okay, Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, unless there are other questions, it looked like you might be getting close to moving toward a vote. I've got a question that's maybe more directed toward the future and deals with revenue notes and fiscal notes. I have a fiscal note here that was presented in an earlier committee on the DMC, but it wasn't in our packets. And being that we are the Ways and Means Committee, I would hope that in the future we have those fiscal notes. Now, I do know that we have fiscal information prepared by the House fiscal analysts, and the numbers match, which would be our main concern here. What the fiscal note has that other members of the committee, I don't think, have, that I have here that I got just before the meeting, does have the narrative. And so I think it's important that you have both the narrative and the numbers. And so my request is, or my hope is, that as we move forward in the future, and I understand we're fast-tracking this bill, and I'm not arguing that point, but I think it's important to have that information so that we do have an official fiscal note. And then the other is that there was not a revenue note either when we're dealing with tax issues. Of course, as we all know, then that's a revenue note. So I think it, as other bills come forward, I hope that we can pay close attention to that and have that information available. I only raise that question because I support the bill. I'm not arguing about the bill, just making sure that in the future we have all the necessary information.
Yeah, and Representative Carlson, this is a little bit of a fast-track situation. We, you know, technically actually just got the bill, you know, this afternoon off the floor. But I appreciate your concerns. Yeah. Mr. Marks, did you want to make a comment?
Mr. Chair, and I actually want to take the credit or the blame, as it may be, for not having those there. Sort of like an omnibus bill in the sense that it's combining various things, and so we had a spreadsheet which lays out the details on it. We typically don't have revenue notes or on an omnibus tax bill. The revenue notes on all the parts of it are available, and on an omnibus finance bill we also typically don't have a fiscal note. We have fiscal notes for the various parts, but we don't, and the committee that put it together would have those, but we don't have those in Ways and Means because there's quite a few of them. And so it was my decision that we should use the spreadsheet that assembled all those things rather than have the various parts here.
So yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I respect the work of Mr. Marks, and I recognize that. But being that there was a fiscal note for that part of the bill available, and it does have the narrative, I just was saying it would have been nice if everybody would have had that, because it wasn't a question of a lack of availability for what was amended on the other day.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Representative Carlson. Any other questions for Representative Davids? Is there Representative Lincheski?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have a question for you first, if I might, or Mr. Marks. And so because DMC is not a federal conformity item, and yet it's being put in this bill, on the last page of, I assume this is what was in the packet, that's where I see DMC, and the revenue estimate, which in this case is actually a fiscal note tagged on, if I'm understanding it correctly, how is that different than what was passed into law? Did those numbers change?
Mr. Marks, do you want to respond to that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lincheski, what the last page, well, it's actually line 10 on the first page, line 10 on the summary page, or page 5 shows, is that this change for the Destination Medical Center is estimated at this point to increase the fiscal 2018 payment by the $5,593,000 and the fiscal 19 payment by the $11,185,000. These are estimates at this point, but that's the best guess at this point in time from the Department of Employment and Economic Development as to how much, that is going to accelerate the payments in those years, or it's going to accelerate payments from future years into those years. Essentially, there is a cap on the total payment here, but it will move them earlier. So, from a budget perspective, there is additional cost in fiscal 18 and fiscal 19 of the Destination Medical Center part.
Yeah. Representative Lincheski.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is something that we didn't have, and Chair Davids knows I respect and support his effort to have early federal conformity. I think we who serve on Tax Committee know that this is very important and very time sensitive, and I thank you, Mr. Chair Davids, for moving this along. But we didn't have House File 27, which was the DMC bill, was not formally brought before the Tax Committee for a public hearing, and so we really didn't get into the nuance. Yet I support this provision, and I think, as was stated by Representative Chair Davids and nonpartisan staff, Mr. Michael, that it's, to me, really a stretch that anybody interpreted it this new way, that the intent of the language, to me, was very clear, and I think Representative Davids is right to just get this fixed up. So, or Chair Davids. But my question, I think, and maybe I'm not getting at it accurately, and because we didn't have the hearing in taxes on this provision, it was done as an amendment. Are you saying, Mr. Marks and Chair Knobloch, that the $60 million is additional to what we passed in the legislation for the 18-19 biennium, or just confirming what the authors, myself and Representative Norton, who was serving on the conference committee, I know Representative Liebling worked on this a lot, Senator Senjum, is that the number that we thought we were passing, or are you saying this is $16 million on top of it moved up?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lincheski, the estimated costs for the Destination Medical Center in the November 2014 forecast have changed since the fiscal note prepared for the 2013 legislative session. The 2013 legislative session, I believe, that fiscal note estimated no cost in fiscal year 16 The forecast now assumes $5.6 million cost in fiscal 16. That's in the forecast already. And then it assumes $5.6 million in fiscal 18 and in fiscal 19. Those are built into the forecast. They're not on the spreadsheet here because they're already built into the forecast. The assumption here is that those costs are increasing by the amounts shown on the spreadsheet above the amount in the forecast. So, and as I don't have the fiscal from 2013 here, we could talk about that if you want, but these numbers are different than the numbers we had in 2013. They're based on new estimates from DEED and looking at what they think, when they think, it's more a timing issue, when they think Rochester's going to be eligible for the aid, meet the $200,000 threshold and become eligible for aid.
Million.
I think was the bigger deal than anything is the timing on it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lucheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Million. You said 200,000.
Million.
Million. So, Mr. Chair, I think I understand it then. Just for clarification, and I know, Mr. Chair, you weren't here working on this legislation, but so the additional money we're seeing really isn't a result of Representative David's language here. It's better revenue estimates and better work from DEED and others. I mean, for legislators who didn't work on this, just to be clear, and I think that's what Representative Davids is trying to say to folks, is, the legislature set up a process where once they put in $200 million, the area gets up to $30 million every year for 20 years. So if the more they put in, the more money they get. So that number is never really going to be known year to year. It's just if you want more state subsidy, you got to put more of your own skin in the game. And I think the legislation did a good job of requiring, I mean, people locally probably don't agree, but that the city and the county down there put in more skin in the game so that the state legislators are subsidizing it less. So if I'm understanding this right, and because we're going to have to keep track of this for a long time, that number that we have new, better numbers on is independent of Representative Chair David's language that's before us. Is that right? The forecast change is not because of this piece of legislation.
Representative Davids, I saw you had your hand up. Did you want to respond to that, or were you responding to a different point?
Thank you. Representative Lucheski brings up some very good points, but I'd also like, I think one little thing we're missing, well, not little, one thing we're missing here is the $16 million shows up because in Chair Lucheski's legislation, it was calculated as being cumulative when the Attorney General's opinion came out September 23rd, I think, of 14.
Right.
Then it was calculated that there wouldn't be as much spent because it would take longer to get there and maybe never get there, the way the Attorney General interpreted it. So what we're doing is $30 million can be spent per year up to a maximum of, I think, $455
million. Right.
But that $16 million is money that was calculated in Chair Lucheski's bill, but it's being brought up quicker as it was in Chair Lucheski's bill because by being cumulative, they're going to be able to get there quicker. And one other point, Mr. Chairman, if I could, and we have Ms. Templin here who may be able to help out on this a little bit too. We did hear the bill in Chair Garofalo's committee, and Chair Lucheski is exactly right. We did not officially hear House File 27 in Tax Committee. We did hear House File 27 as an amendment, an A1 amendment in Tax Committee. So in my mind, that's the hearing, but she's absolutely right in that officially we did not hear House File 27. But we did hear it as an amendment with a full hearing. So that $16 million, if we do the way with the legislative intent, comes back quicker to us as intended in the original legislation of 2013 in the omnibus tax bill of Chair Lucheski. But then when the Attorney General said, no, this is per year, then it shot that money off into the future and maybe never be used. So that $16 million is not new money. It's not new money. It is not new money. It is money that had been figured, but it was figured differently, and there was another factor in there. I believe that some of the estimates from the City of Rochester on their building numbers had changed also. So that's another change. So,
well, thank you, Representative Davids. And I guess perhaps to the point of the hearing question you had brought up, Representative Lucheski, I guess I do want to veil anyone who's here who wants to give some testimony on the bill, the opportunity to do so if someone wants to do that. I don't think we have anyone who has signed up, have we, Ms. Kodrick? Okay. Is there anyone here who wants to give testimony on this bill? All right. Are there any other questions for Representative Davids? Representative Lincheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to again thank Chair Davids. You know, people who serve on the Tax Committee get very frustrated that it's difficult to get legislators to focus on tax conformity, yet it is so important for our constituents, and they don't even know what that means. But at its core, Chair Davids is making life a lot easier for a lot of filers if you can get this through quickly, and I hope you can. And so I really thank you so much for making this a priority, and I know you and I share that value within taxes. I just want to ask, since I asked you before, are you aware if Senator Bach and Speaker Dowd have agreed to this exact bill? Is there an agreement that the Senate's just going to concur and we're off to the governor's desk?
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, Chair Lincheski. A couple points, and this is to the best of my knowledge, and I could be wrong. You know, I was once wrong in my life. I thought I was, but I really wasn't. But that being said, the way I understand it is Senator Scoy and I have an agreement. That's between Senator Scoy and I, but we still have to have the authorizing. You know, it doesn't matter what agreement we have if we don't have the votes to get it passed. So Senator Scoy and I have in writing would accept the language in House File 6 as amended. And from what I understand, the minority party in the Senate is okay. The only thing I don't know is the minority party in the House. I don't know where Leader Thiessen is on this. I'm hoping that he will agree to suspend the rules and have no amendments. Because if we have amendments, then it has to go to conference committee, and then we're not done by the 20th. So that's the best I know right now. Now, if something's changed, if Leader Thiessen has said, given it the okie-dokie, I don't know. I hope he does, and I hope he will by tomorrow, but I can't sit here before this committee and say that's been done. But I do have an agreement with Senator Scoy that House File 6, as amended, is good to go over in the Senate if we get it there.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, listening to the last discussion on the changes in the numbers here, maybe this is a question of Mr. Marks, but that how are we tracking in that $16,778,000?
Mr. Marks?
As we move toward the end of the session, is this...
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, it's an additional cost in fiscal 18 and 19, the tails years. If this bill is enacted before mid-February, it's going to be built into the February forecast, and so it will essentially disappear then as part of the as a separate item and be part of the forecast. So it wouldn't have to be tracked later when we do budget resolution or those sort of things.
So it'll be, Mr. Chairman, I understand that it'll be part of the forecast, or it'll be... eliminated as part of the forecast. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question, Representative Carlson. Yeah, Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to, before we vote on the bill, I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank Chair Davids for moving this quickly and getting this taken care of, because I think those of you all of you on this committee have been around for a while, and you know that when you do big, complicated legislation, especially as quickly as we did this, that to have it be flawless the first time is pretty near impossible. And I really want to give a big thank you to the staff who worked on this so hard and have been so great about it. And, you know, this could, right today it's DMC, but it could really be anything. And as I think everybody here knows, when you have, this has to do with getting private investors to invest, and the uncertainty of not having this little glitch fixed is really causing a lot of heartburn in the community, and people are worried that investors will not invest because they're not sure what's going to happen and so on. And so I just wanted to say thank you to Chair Davids for moving this along.
Chair Davids, any final comments?
Well, thank you. I'd like to thank Representative Liebling for her comments. And I simply believe that Chair Lincheski, when this was written for DMC in 2013, was very clear. But we have the situation before us, and House File 6, as amended in taxes, in my opinion, takes care of that. This is a huge issue for the state of Minnesota, for the city of Rochester. And I didn't bring on the Mayor Brady wrote a very good letter on why he believes this should be passed. And so I'd really appreciate member support on this tonight and on the floor tomorrow.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Davids renews his motion that House File 6 be referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 6 is passed to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you. Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, we are adjourned. And members, there is no meeting on Monday the 19th, so the next regularly scheduled meeting will be the 26th. Have a good evening. And I'm here.